It's a joy again this morning to have the opportunity of standing before you and sharing some thoughts with you from the Word of God. I thought about several things that I might talk about this morning, but the thought that kept coming back to me was the thought of the conflict between the spirit and the flesh. Lord willing, we'll be looking at that this morning from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Beginning. As a matter of fact, we're going to read more than just verse 16, but we'll go over the announcements first. Berea congregation down below Jamestown is having their sixth annual Friday night gospel singing on February the 12th. That'll be next Friday night. Beginning at 6 o'clock Alabama time, that'll be, of course, 7 o'clock Georgia time, refreshment's going to be served and fellowship enjoyed, and they invite us to come down and be with them. And then, unless it's called off due to colds and flu and viruses and stuff, our regular second Saturday service at the Oakview Nursing Home will be next Saturday at 3 o'clock. And then the third Sunday singing this month is at West Main and Cherokee in Lafayette. There are also some other announcements about some regional campaigns and so forth on the bulletin board, but I'll not burden you with going over them at this time. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5 and we're going to talk about verses 16 and 17, but we're going to begin reading in verse 15 and read on down to close to the end, well, to the end of the chapter. But if ye bite and devour one another, Paul says, take heed lest ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Manifest means that they're clearly visible. A lot of times we'll talk about a manifest as being maybe a list of all items that's been loaded on a truck. Well, that's not what he's talking about. The works of the flesh are manifest. They're easy to see. They're clear. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Not an all-inclusive list. Such lie. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's, C-H-R-I-S-T apostrophe S, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Be not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So if we think about this morning the conflict between the Spirit and the flesh, the Bible depicts two natures of man, the spiritual nature and the carnal nature. Paul talked about it in Romans chapter 7. He said, I with my mind, he said, I acknowledge the law of God, that it's good and all, but I see another law, he said, working in my members and bringing me into bondage to the law of sin and death. And we realize that what the Lord is talking about when he talks about the spirit and the flesh, the carnal side and the spiritual side of man, we realize that a lot of people out here in the world have almost, if not entirely, totally suppressed the spiritual nature, the nature that tells us to do good and to be the kind of people the Lord would have us to be, as they have opened the door wide for the carnal nature. And that's simply what they're walking in as they live in the ways of the world, the carnal, the fleshly nature of man. Looking out for number one, as I say, that's me, what I want, with little regard to other people. But then there are those who have committed our lives to God as Christians, and we have acknowledged the spiritual side, and not only our spiritual side, but that which is directed by the Spirit of God. And we have acknowledged that that is good, and that's better, and it's more noble. And we have made that good confession and the profession to follow Christ and to be spiritual and to live for the higher nature. But after all, we see that the old man is hard to get rid of. It keeps rearing its head, the old fleshly nature. And we have in our lives more or less a conflict between the spiritual nature and the fleshly nature, even as Christians. But as we go on through life, living the Christian life, the more that we cultivate and we honor and we acknowledge the spiritual life, the less that the carnal life brings its pressure to bear upon us. So maybe as a young Christian, it's very hard to keep the old fleshly nature down. But I've been a Christian for let's see, 35 years, I guess, now. And I'm here to tell you, not only from the Word of God, but from experience, the more you say no to the fleshly man, the easier it is. And the more you say yes to the spiritual side, the easier that becomes. So it becomes second nature, whichever you get in the habit and get used to and accustomed to saying yes to, it becomes second nature. So when you're tempted to steal something, you see something you'd like, and you don't have the money on you to pay for it, and say, well, I could grab it and put it in my pocket, nobody'd ever see me. To start with, it might be a temptation. But you know that you just don't do such things. So in time, it becomes the thought doesn't even enter your mind. And so it is with all other carnal and fleshly desires. So to sum it up, every Christian has a twofold nature. The old one of the flesh and the new spiritual one, as it's indicated in our text, Galatians 5:16. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't be a Christian and just do anything that you feel like doing. Some people have expressed a philosophy in this old world, if it feels good, do it. But our philosophy as a Christian, if it pleases God, do it. Not if it feels good, do it. So we have this twofold nature, and one of them is contrary to the other. It's kind of a inner conflict, a warfare going on in the hearts and the lives of those who are Christians. And so Jesus talked about in John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 6. And the fleshly nature is from the world, the lower side of man. The spiritual nature is from above, the spiritual side. So we have to decide which one we're going to listen to, which one we're going to obey. So since these two natures are diametrically opposed most of the time to each other, there arises from this a conflict and a struggle between the flesh and the spirit within the Christian. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, Paul says. So the flesh wants to put the spirit to death and do as it pleases. But then the spirit wants to put the flesh to death and do as it pleases. Paul told the Galatians, he said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." In, I believe it's Galatians chapter 6. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And he goes on to list the carnal natures, lusts and evil desires. Put them to death. So the spirit wants to put the flesh to death, and the flesh wants to put the spirit to death. And we're the referee. We're the one that either restrains one and unleashes the other. So the flesh wants to be proud and to be boastful, to be puffed up. The spirit desires to be humble and submissive. The flesh wants to be angry and irritable and argumentative and take vengeance, if not in word, even sometimes in deed. Beat somebody up if you feel like it. But the spirit doesn't want to be like that. The spirit wants to be meek and gentle and forgiving and easy to get along with. The flesh wants to yield to the desires of the flesh and commit fornication or adultery at will. But the spirit desires to be pure and chaste and to keep oneself pure for God. The flesh wants to have not only what's yours, but what belongs to the other person. To pilfer, to steal, to cheat, to swindle. But the spirit wants to turn away from this and have only what is rightfully ours. The flesh wants to flatter, to lie, to swindle, to be hypocritical, whatever it takes to get ahead, to get the advantage. But the spirit hates this kind of a life, and the spirit wants to be truthful and act straightforwardly and honestly. The flesh wants to hate other people, look down its nose at other people, but the spirit wants to love other people and be happy when other people succeed. The flesh wants to live in idleness and wantonness, but the spirit wants to turn away from that sort of a life and exercise itself unto God, and to holiness, and the blessed labors and works of God. The flesh wants to just get out here and have fun and revel. Get drunk, have it up, live it up, have banquets and parties all the time. But the spirit says, no, that's not the way to live. The spirit wants to be modest and exercise self-control. The flesh wants to seek out fame and honor and the riches of this world and revel in these, but the spirit turns away from all this and wants to cultivate only the good of heaven and spiritual things and so on. So we can see why Paul would say there's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Now I want to share with you a few verses that'll help to guide us in this conflict and to help us to choose what is right. In Matthew 26:41, before Jesus was crucified, excuse me, while he was in the garden praying in agony, he asked his disciples to watch with him, watch and pray with him. And he came back and found them asleep. And he said in verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We know the feeling, don't we? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our bodies get tired. Our bodies get lazy. Our bodies really don't want to do things sometimes that we know we ought to do. Mark 14:38. He said the same thing, "Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." Then John 3:6. That which is born of flesh is flesh, as we noticed earlier. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We've been born again. The spiritual part of our lives has been made alive. He told Nicodemus there, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. In John 6:63, he said the flesh, or the spirit, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. In the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, Paul said that the natural man receives not the things of the spirit because they are spiritually discerned. And that's why a lot of times the Bible just doesn't make sense to someone who is carnally minded. But it makes sense to those of us who are spiritually minded. In Romans 8:1, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he went on to elaborate on that. Verse 4 beginning, reading through verse 14, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, I think that's those that have not been born again. Some people argue about what that means, but that's what I believe it means. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, we've not been born of water and the Spirit, we've not been spiritually regenerated, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, talking about Christians, people who have been born again. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You ever heard the old expression, like father, like son? Well, Peter said, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So Paul is talking here about people who have been spiritually regenerated. Like he said in Ephesians 2, that we're dead in trespasses and sins, but now he's quickened us, having forgiven us all trespasses. He says we have an obligation. We're in debt. We have indebtedness to do something. In verse 12 of Romans 8. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to live after the flesh. So we owe it to somebody who has saved us, who has washed us from our sins and regenerated us to live a certain kind of a life, and it's not the carnal life. What kind of a life is it, Paul? He says it's a spiritual life, to walk after the Spirit. He says that we need to have the Spirit of God. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Paul told the Romans, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Well, how do we know that the Spirit we're following is the Spirit of Christ? Because Paul said in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, that is, the results of the spiritual life, the fruit, that means the results, what it begets, what it brings forth. The fruit of the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, or self-control. These are the results of walking after the Spirit. And Paul says, that's the life that we're indebted to God to live. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Somebody says, well, yeah, I know, I owe it to God since He loved me and since Jesus died for me and since He saved me and He washed me from my sins in the blood of Christ. I owe it to God to live a spiritual life. But Paul says, what happens if you don't? Now here there's a rift in the teaching of different branches of theology. There's one branch of theology that says, even as one church discipline or manual or whatever you want to call it says, that no sin from idolatry to murder will cause the Christian soul to be one whit less right with God or in danger of punishment. I don't buy that for one minute, and neither did Paul. He said, look at it, verse 13 of Romans 8, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But says, so what? We're all going to die. Romans 9 and what is it, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So what? If we live after the flesh, we'll die. Whoop-de-doo. But that's not the kind of death he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual death. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. In Ezekiel, I think, chapter 33, God told Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So he talked in Ephesians 2 about you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul says, now you're as people who are quickened, who are born again, you are indebted to live after the Spirit, not to the flesh. But what if you don't? For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. And that's why Peter said, for if after they have escaped the corruption of the world, or the pollution of the world, as King James puts it, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, the sow that was washed are wallowing in the mire. Somebody said, hush, you're making me sick, getting close to lunchtime. Well, it wasn't me that said it, it was the inspired apostle Peter. And that's the sickening picture that he intended to present to us of the person who comes to Christ for redemption and salvation and then goes back out here into the world and wallows in the mires of sin. That's why Paul said we're indebted not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, through the leadership and the guidance of the Spirit, through the Word and within us as Christians, if we through the Spirit do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right, we talked about 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5 in our Bible study this morning about the man who had an illicit relationship with evidently his stepmother, his father's wife. Paul told him to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? This old body's going to die and going to be corrupted and going to be filled with maggots and other organisms that's going to destroy it. It's going to turn back to dust, to the dust of the earth. It's not going to be anything to count on, is it? What do we have to count on for eternity? We have the Spirit. There are two natures of man. Now, which one are we going to feed? Which one are we going to feed? We can feed the spiritual part of man. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We can feed the spiritual part of the man, and it'll grow and it'll get stronger and stronger and bigger. And we'll have something to look forward to for all eternity. Or we can feed the spirit, the fleshly part of man, the carnal part of man. What does it feast on? Feast on worldliness, sin, carnality, that sort of thing. We can feed it. It'll get bigger and bigger and crowd out the spiritual part of man. Then what happens when death comes our way? We have nothing left. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" After he talked about the conflict between the flesh and the spirit in Romans 7. But then he said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Galatians 6 and verse 8 says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That which is putrid, rotten, is corruption. It's all we'll get. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting," eternal life with God in heaven. Now, which do we want? Which are we going to feed, or which are we going to sow to, as Paul put it here? Philippians 3:3. Paul says, "We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Paul said in Romans 7, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." In my flesh, there's no good thing. I've got to feed my spiritual part to build it up to overcome the flesh. In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter said, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." And he doesn't say a bunch of weirdos. He says a special people. A diamond is a peculiar stone. Gold is a peculiar metal. We are peculiar people because we're God's people. "That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So what? Next verse says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Satan works through the lower nature. James said, "Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Satan works through the lower nature of man. God works through the spiritual part of man. That's why Peter said, "Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And finally, in Jude, verses 17 through 21, Jude said, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." What's he saying? He's saying, feed the Spirit. Give to the spiritual nature. Let it develop and grow. And don't be like these ungodly people who are sensual and have not the Spirit. Which drummer are you marching to today? If you're not right with God, if you've never been born again, like Paul said, The carnal man cannot please God, cannot understand spiritual things. They're foolishness to you. But you can understand that you need to be born again, born of water and of the Spirit, by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus, repenting of your sin, confessing that faith, being buried with your Lord in baptism, rise to walk in newness of life. If as a Christian you fed the wrong part of man, you let it grow and it's about to overcome the spiritual part, you need to repent and be rededicated to the Lord. We'll pray with you and for you. And if there's one subject, won't you decide that now's the time while we stand, while we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you.